Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also invite you to our in-person Bible study held on Wednesday evenings from 5:15 until 6 p.m. at the church in classrooms 1 and 2. The context of our passage in Matthew is this is Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus has already entered into Jerusalem, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, cleared out the temple, chapter 21, verses 12 and 13, healed the blind and the lame, chapter 21, verse 14, dealt with the scribes and chief priests who were upset, actually indignant, about the wonderful things Jesus did and the children singing Hosanna at chapter 21, verses 15 and 16. And then Jesus leaves the city and goes to Bethany, chapter 21, verse 17, all on the first day he entered. The next day, Jesus curses a fig tree and it withers at once, and then deals with the chief priests and elders who question his authority. And Jesus responds with the three parables against Israel's leaders. All of this leads us to our passage, which is the first of four question and answer encounters between Jesus and Jewish leaders. And of these four, all but the second involve the Pharisees. And ironically enough, Jesus affirms the Pharisee position, though that does not appease them. And in chapter 23, verses 1 through 36, Jesus gives a blistering word against the scribes and Pharisees. So, in a word, the context for our passage is hostile. The technical name of the form of our passage is a pronouncement story, a unit of material that consists of a pronouncement of Jesus, verse 21, render to Caesar, in a very simple framework that provides the barest essentials. The questioners approach Jesus with flattering lips and hostile intent, verse 15, to entangle or trap him. They pose the question of paying taxes to Rome, verse 17. Is it lawful? And Jesus perceives their evil design, verse 18, and asks to see the coin, verse 19, and poses a question of his own, verse 20. And Jesus answers their question with a pronouncement, verse 21, render to Caesar. And the questioners marvel and leave. We need to keep in mind that Jews living in the Roman Empire at the time of Jesus was nothing like living in America now, but possibly when America was a colony of the British, the stamp tax, the tea tax, which led to the Boston Tea Party, etc. In Israel's case, their country was under foreign occupation, and this tax, as well as other taxes and events, sparked many clashes between the Romans and the Jews, and triggered the nationalism that finally became the Zealot movement, which fomented the disastrous war of 66 through 70. The tax could only be paid with Roman coins, which were not just legal tender, but also pieces of propaganda. Most of the coins contained an image of the Caesar, with inscriptions proclaiming him to be divine or the son of a god. Graven images and polytheism were blasphemous to both Jews and Christians, so paying taxes with Roman coins raised both political and religious issues. Some of you may have Bible notes that point out that the Pharisees produce a coin with its idolatrous image and inscription in the sacred precincts of the temple, which is hypocritical. The Herodians supported the government, so the setup is for Jesus to displease one party or the other. In our passage, there is a lot of pretending going on. Behind the flattering lips, there is that evil intent. The Pharisees and Herodians are pretending to get along. They are pretending to honor Jesus as a great teacher. But of course, their intention is to set him up. People want to paint Jesus as being too clever for their games and outsmarting both groups. But that cheapens who Jesus is. He was more than just the clever guy who could outsmart, outmaneuver, and outwit a bunch of nitwits, or anyone else for that matter. Such an interpretation misrepresents who Jesus is and what he was teaching. In verse 18, the word translated malice in the RSV can also be translated evil, as in rescue us from the evil one in Matthew 6, verse 13. And put me to the test can be translated as tempt me, as in the traditional translation of the Lord's Prayer and Jesus' experience in the wilderness at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. If we look at verse 18 in this way, then it is clear that Jesus saw this as something more than a game of wits or a mental trap. If Jesus is being tempted, then the evil one is seeking through these questioners to lure Jesus into a political struggle. In other words, Jesus understands that he is being confronted by evil, not just a tough question. If we look at the confrontation in this way, as opposed to just showing how clever Jesus was, we can see that evil is a very real part of our everyday lives, with many of our choices, and that such evil often approaches us through flattery, verse 16. Its agents may be religious leaders, not guys in black hats, and the issue may be complex, requiring discernment. Notice how Jesus' response does not solve the problem as much as it defines the nature of the struggle. This is not about taxes. This is about God. And sometimes trying to discern what is God's and what is Caesar's can be a test or a temptation. In conclusion, our passage is not about separation of church and state. It's about loyalty. Jesus was not about overthrowing Rome. He was not about setting up a political government or a religious government. And hold on to your hats, but nowhere does Jesus tell us to set up a Christian government. Jesus was much more interested in how we govern ourselves. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.